Thank you, Scott, for leading us in our singing tonight. We have some very good song leaders here, and we're glad that many of them are working to help us to sing praises to God, and we appreciate all of them so much. Well, this evening we're going to think about a character from the Old Testament that is not as well known as perhaps some of the others, like Moses and David and Elijah and characters like that. But there is a certain king in the Bible that had some interesting interactions with God, and his name was Hezekiah. And Hezekiah's story is found in Isaiah 38, in 2 Chronicles 29 and 30, and in the book of 2 Kings. And so we're going to look at a few lessons from the life of Hezekiah this evening. Let's start off with Isaiah chapter 38 and verses 1 through 8, just to read a few things about this king. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, "Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. This is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial which has gone down with the sun, on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward." So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. So Hezekiah was one of the few good kings of Judah. And the story of good King Hezekiah, as we mentioned, is told in 2 Kings 18 through 20, 2 Chronicles 29 through 32, and Isaiah 36 through 39. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 29 years in Judah. 2 Chronicles 29 verse 1 tells us. The prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, and Micah all prophesied during his reign. Hezekiah tore down the idolatrous high places where many idolaters went to worship, 2 Kings 18:4 tells us. And in 2 Kings 18, verse 3, it says that he did right, or he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Well, let's look at a few things about Hezekiah and note some lessons from his life. First of all, we learn from King Hezekiah the lesson of restoration. We want to turn over now to 2 Chronicles 29 and verses 3 through 5. We're going to read a few passages from 2 Chronicles 29. So get your Bibles out, or if your phone has a Bible on it or your tablet, get that out, and let's read together these stories in the Old Testament about Hezekiah. So 2 Chronicles 29, starting in verse 3, it says, "In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and turned their backs on him." Now look at verses 18 and 19 of the same chapter. "Then they went in to King Hezekiah and said, 'We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings with all its articles, and the table of the showbread with all its articles. Moreover, all the articles which King Ahaz in his reign had cast aside in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified. And there they are before the altar of the Lord.'" Now skip down to verses 28 and 29. "So all the assembled worshipped, the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped." So you can see that there was a problem with the temple at this particular time. King Ahaz had corrupted it with idolatrous practices and had introduced some things into the temple that God had not authorized. And when Hezekiah came into power and saw that, he told the priests, "You go clean all that rubbish out of the temple. That doesn't need to be in there. And we want to rededicate it to God and Him alone." And so that's what they did. They cleaned it out. And as a result, then, they were able to go in and worship as the Word of God prescribed them to worship. And so they restored the temple worship in the time of Hezekiah. Hezekiah did. He also restored the observance of the Passover. Look at 2 Chronicles 30 and verses 1 through 3. "And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his leaders and all the assembly in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month." All right, now look at 2 Chronicles 30 and verses 13 through 16. "Now many people, a very great assembly, gathered at Jerusalem to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month. They arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and they took away all the incense altars and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought the burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. They stood in their place according to their custom, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood received from the hands of the Levites." So they had not observed the Passover feast in many, many years. And now Hezekiah comes in and he writes letters to all the tribes of Israel and he says, "Y'all come and let's observe the Passover like God has commanded us to do." And so they observe the Passover. Now the question we want to ask here is, how did they know to do these things? How did they know what the original temple was supposed to look like? How did they know to remove all of the rubbish out of the temple and what to leave in there? How did they know when and what to do to observe the Passover? These things hadn't been done for years and years and years. Imagine, if you would, that all the churches in the United States shut down. Imagine that no one came into the buildings to worship. Imagine that this went on for dozens of years, maybe decades even. And then 100 years later, someone said, we have all of these church buildings around here. What are we supposed to do with them? Where would they go to find the answers to those questions? And what would they do then in regard to that? Well, look at 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 16 for just a moment, because we have the answer right here in this text. It says, they stood in their place according to their custom, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. So there you go. They had the law of Moses, and they were able to go back to the law of Moses to read what they were supposed to do in the temple. They were able to read what they were supposed to do to observe the Passover. And they learned how to do that from what they found in God's holy word. And the same is true for us today. We must go to God's holy word to learn what to do in worship to God, to learn what to do in order to become a child of God, to learn what to do in order to organize and build the church. The word of God has these answers. And today, Jesus put it like this. The seed is the word of God. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. And what does that mean? It means that we have everything that we need here in seed form. And just like an acorn has everything that it needs within it in order to grow an oak tree, so also the Word of God has everything in it in order for God's people to be what God wants them to be. And so that's why it's so important that we study the Word of God and practice the Word of God and live by the Word of God, and that we have a thus saith the Lord for everything that we say and do. In 1 Peter 1, in verses 22 through 23, Peter says, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's what we need to be born from. Not of corruptible seed, that is of man's origination, but of incorruptible seed, God's holy word. And when we listen to the word of God and follow what it says, then we will have exactly what they had, which is God's people. So that's one lesson we learned from Hezekiah. He was able to restore worship in Judah and to restore the Passover because he read and he honored and he respected God's word. Let us do the same today. Now, another lesson we learned is a lesson regarding prayer. And we saw in our opening reading of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 38 that Hezekiah was told that he was going to die. And he turned to God in prayer. Let's think about that for a moment. In 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 13, it's the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign. And a man by the name of Sennacherib, who was the king of Assyria at the time, came up against Israel. Well, Hezekiah sent some tribute money to Sennacherib in an effort to pacify him. 2 Kings 18, 14 through 16 says. But Sennacherib still decided to take all of the fortified cities around Jerusalem and then come up against the city of Jerusalem in Judah. It wasn't enough for Sennacherib to have all these things. He wanted the people to stop trusting in the Lord entirely. So go, if you would, to 2 Kings 19, verses 1 through 7 now. Let's read that together. 2 Kings 19 and verses 1 through 7. And so it was, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift your prayer for the remnant that is left." So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." Notice that statement. Lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. And they did pray, and God promised that he would deliver them from the hand of Sennacherib. Look at verses 14 through 19 now of the same chapter. It says, "And Hezekiah received the letter from the hands of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, the Lord, the king of Assyria, has laid waste the nations in their land and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone." So Hezekiah prayed this great prayer. And in verse 35, it says that God delivered Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib by sending angels into their camp, which slew 185,000 of their men in one night. And so Sennacherib's army was miraculously turned away when there was absolutely no earthly hope for the city of Jerusalem to survive. God was able to deliver them and prove that he is the one true and living God. In regard to Hezekiah's sickness, in 2 Kings 20 and verses 1 through 7, we see there the same story that we read a moment ago in Isaiah 38. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord for that sickness to be removed, and the Lord granted him an additional 15 years. And so we learn from Hezekiah then that prayer can change things. Prayer changed Jerusalem's fate from being destroyed by Sennacherib to being delivered by the hand of God. Prayer saved Hezekiah from dying at a younger age and granted him 15 more years of life. When we pray, We can change things. James chapter 5 and verses 16 through 18 says, "Confess therefore your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working." Elijah was a man of like passions with us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Prayer is powerful, and we need to pray, and we need to teach our children to pray as well. John wrote in 1 John 3 and verse 22, "And whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Prayer is for the faithful. It's not for the unrighteous. It's not for those who don't keep his commandments. It's not for those who don't do things that are pleasing in his sight. It's for those who love him and who have a great relationship with him. And God grants blessings through prayer. And then finally, in the life of Hezekiah, we learn a lesson regarding pride. Hezekiah was a king all of his life, and toward the end of his life, he got a little bit too big for his britches, as we say here in the South sometimes, right? And so let's find out what happened with him. Turn to Isaiah chapter 39 and verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 39 and verses 1 and 2. It says, "At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah was pleased with them, and showed them the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them." And so he had some visitors from Babylon come, and Hezekiah was so proud of everything that he had that he showed it off. And that then ultimately created the situation that Babylon wanted those treasures for themselves. And in a few decades, they came back and took them. Well, Isaiah then came to Hezekiah and said the following, verse 3. "Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, 'What did these men say, and from where did they come to you?' So Hezekiah said, 'They came to me from a far country, from Babylon.' And he said, 'What have they seen in your house?' So Hezekiah answered, 'They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them.' Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, 'Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord.'" And so Hezekiah's pride in his possessions ended up being the downfall of Judah. You know, we've all got to be careful with the problem of pride. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. In Romans 12 and verse 3, Paul writes, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Hezekiah's pride ended up showing off all that he had to others. And then the others, with envy in their hearts, reported back to Babylon what they had seen. And that resulted in, ultimately, the Babylonian king coming and taking everything away from them. King Hezekiah was a good king, but he was not perfect. And he is like so many of us today. Not perfect. But he tried. He tried to do what was right. He looked to God's law to see what it said, and then tried to follow it as best as he could. He prayed, which meant he had a direct and personal relationship with God. And God answered his prayers because he tried to do what was right in his life. He had problems, sure, but he also went down in history as being one of the good kings of Judah. And I believe that we will see Hezekiah in heaven, and we'll be able to talk to him more about how he developed his relationship with God and what he did in his life. Here at the end of chapter 39, Hezekiah says to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken to me is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days." The word of the Lord that you have spoken to me is good. You know, even when God's word said of Hezekiah, bad things are going to happen to you because of what you did, Hezekiah was resigned to God's word having sway over his life. You know, that's how we need to be too. Maybe we won't have the greatest of futures. Maybe there will be problems. Maybe we'll have to encounter some difficulties that we were not expecting to have. But nevertheless, let us agree with the sentiments of Hezekiah. The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good. And let God's word then lead us and guide us, mold us, and shape us. And he will bring us home to live with him one day. Do you believe that the word of the Lord is good tonight? Are you willing to have it or give it control over your life this evening? Maybe you need to become a child of God by following the same standard that Hezekiah followed, the word of God. The word of God says to hear his word and believe it, repent of our sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Maybe you'd like to do that tonight. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church. Prayer is powerful. Hezekiah would be able to tell you that because he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord answered his prayers. And the Lord will answer your prayers also. But let's live that faithful Christian life so that our prayers will be heard and answered. And so if you need prayer this evening, we'll be happy to pray for you. Whatever your need may be, you can come right now while we stand and while we sing.